Well, good morning again.
Good morning.
Sorry, I was having microphone malfunctions. It's good to see everyone. We have four Sundays until Christmas. And of course, we celebrated today is the beginning of Advent. If you aren't familiar, now again, I was raised in church, and I remember like we would always light candles, and people would read stuff, and they'd bring kids up, and they would mumble, and it was kind of like, what is this? And so Advent is recognizing the fact that Jesus came to earth. And we also recognize in Advent the fact that he's coming again, amen? He is coming back. And so I still aren't really sure which week's theme is what, et cetera, or what Advent's completely about, but I know who it's about, and that's what's important, right? Amen. So, and I would challenge you this morning that just as excited as you probably are about Christmas and all the wonderful things that that means and brings, that we should be as or even more excited that he is coming back. He is coming back for us, for his church. He's coming back to make things right. And the fact that he is, that should be the guiding force of our life. Amen. That's what Christmas is about. It's about Jesus. And I remember in 2011, Christmas was on a Sunday, I believe. And because Brandon has already reminded me that next year Christmas is on a Sunday again. And so to some people, that means I have to go to church on a Christmas. I think that's hilarious. Actually, if you remember in 2011, I preached in Mount Carmel and we broadcasted it up here, and somehow something went haywire with the tech. But I remember that there and here as well that our attendance was down on Christmas. I mean, why would we want to go to church? It's Christmas. I want you to take 5 or 10 seconds and think about that. Well, we have our traditions and we open presents. I'm not going to church. It's Christmas morning. Let that sink in. All right. If you think that's as absurd as I do. So we're going to spend today and actually the next 4 weeks between now and Christmas reminding ourselves and challenging ourselves that we're going to do Christmas different this year. We're going to, you hear, keep Christ in Christmas, that us as believers are truly going to make Christmas about Jesus, and we're going to maybe even do Christmas different this year. We're going to, in our family, we have some different things we're going to put into place to really make Christmas about Jesus. I give you some practical examples I was thinking about this week. Maybe spend $25 or $50 less overall or on the kids, or take whatever your Christmas budget is and spend 10% less and give that to a Samaritan's purse or to a homeless shelter or to your church or to some organization that really helps people that are hungry, that are homeless, that are destitute, refugees halfway across the world. A lot of aid organizations are over there helping, whatever it might be. Maybe think about doing something like that. Maybe make sure that you read the Christmas story when you gather together as a family. And if you have people in your family who aren't believers, great. What a good witness and example to them that the reason we have Christmas is because of Jesus. The reason that the world exists, the universe, is because of Jesus. Because God loves us and sent Jesus for us. So we're not about, as Christians, to celebrate Christmas without making it about Jesus. Amen? And there's nothing wrong, shop and eat and go to the mall and Target and buy Christmas presents. But I'm telling you, make it about Jesus. We have every year Christmas Eve communion. You come, you take communion as a family, you remember that Jesus came, you remember what he did for you, and you go. Now, the last couple of years, we've been gone on Christmas Eve, so we didn't make it, but this year we're going to be here, we're going to be around. And last year we had just under 50 people come to communion on Christmas Eve. Our average attendance this year, year to date, is 310 people on a Sunday. We ought to have more than 50 of us come for communion on Christmas Eve, amen? Make that a tradition. If you've not done it before, start this year. You come and you take communion as a family because Christmas is about Jesus. 6 to 8 o'clock, Christmas Eve, the church will be open. It'll even be open before that and after that, you know that. But come and take communion. When you sit down to eat at Christmas, you've heard me say this before, put verses on the plates. The mashed potatoes can wait 5 minutes. Read about Jesus on Christmas, because it is about him. And I know this can be a stressful time of the year, and that's why we're starting on the first Sunday of Advent. We still have 4 weeks before Christmas, because this time of the year is the most stressful time of the year for many, many, many people. And that should not be the case. We should be focusing on and celebrating the fact Isaiah 9:6 says this. It says, "For unto us, you and I, a child is born, a son is given. The government, the world, some translations say, will be on his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." If you know Jesus this morning, you hear that about him being your Wonderful Counselor, your Mighty God, your Everlasting Father, your Prince of Peace, and you're like, yes, amen. That's what he is. And if you don't know that, Christmas is just another time of the year for you, but it's probably more stressful because you've got to be with family and you figure out how you got to pay for the presents and everything is busy. And it's stressful and it shouldn't be that. Counting today, there are 26 shopping days left until Christmas. Now, if you do the math, you're thinking, 26, today's the 29th, 30th. I count Christmas Eve. That's when I do my shopping. I count it. I do. I'm telling you. If you think I've never bought my wife a gift from the Marathon station, you are wrong. What? It's the thought that counts. So anyway, but I would encourage you over these next 26 days to not be stressed. Don't spend this Christmas season being stressed about being like the world does about those that don't know Jesus and don't understand what Christmas is about. January is the highest year of the month for suicides. Depression is up. Everybody's maxed out their credit cards. Don't do that this year. Christmas is about Christ. It's about Jesus. It's just like us as humans to take the greatest gift the world has ever received and mess it up, right? That's what we do. So this year, let's have perspective amid the stress. If you have your Bibles, Isaiah chapter 8. This is right before Isaiah 9:6. This is the prophet talking about what was going on with the children of Israel, God's people. It says, they will pass through hard-pressed and hungry, and it will happen when they're hungry. They will be enraged and curse their king and their God and look upward, and they will look to the earth and see trouble and darkness, gloom of anguish, and they'll be driven into darkness. Israel was about to fall to the Assyrians. They were feeling isolated, troubled, and going through this. But this was all before Christ. This was all B.C. So B.C., you got reason to be stressed. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, you honestly have a reason to be stressed. Your soul is in danger of being separated from God forever. Hell. But if you're here this morning and you know Jesus, even if you're going through something, even in this time of the year that can be very stressful, you have a reason to rejoice because you have a wonderful counselor. Let's just leave that verse up the whole time, please. You have a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, an everlasting Father, a Prince of Peace. If you know Jesus, you've got reason to be thankful. And if you truly know Him, you're not going to make Christmas about stuff and abundance of materialism and excess and gifts and all these things that they're all fine, but you're going to keep it about Jesus. The keeping Christ in Christmas is not just a catchy slogan. It's for us as Christians to actually do with our lives. And so the children of Israel here were going through great things, but Christ hadn't come yet. But Christmas, we celebrate the fact that He did come. And we know that He's coming again. And so if you're here this morning and you're a Christian, Isaiah 9:2 says this, you were in darkness, but you've seen a great light. Upon you a great light has shined. Have you ever woke up in the middle of the night and you've been walking through and you don't have the light on, or you go into your basement or somewhere that's really dark and pitch black and you can't see a thing? Isn't that scary? You're like, you know you're getting ready to bump your head or stub your toe. I know one of my kids has left something sharp on the floor. They are so good at that. I'm about to step on something, it's going to make my foot bleed. But then when I finally get the light on, it's such a sense of relief that the light is on. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, that's your life. If you're not walking with Him, that's your life. You're in darkness. You're going to have something happen that's going to hurt unless you give your heart and life to Him. And even when you do, life's still not perfect, but you know that He has come to forgive you, to set you free. You know He's coming again, that things will be made well. And this season, we celebrate Jesus. All this other stuff, nothing should come before Him because He is what? He's our wonderful counselor. Mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. If you're taking notes, just a few things about these four things. Jesus is our wonderful counselor. He is. Everything about Him is wonderful. But He needs to be the counselor of your life. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. His Word needs to be the counselor of your life. Some of you need to stop with the other people and with the horoscopes and the talk shows and the counselors and the psychiatrist and get into God's Word and let Jesus be your counselor. Ah, when I let God's Word guide my life, the difference that it makes when He is my counselor, when I let His Word guide my life and my decisions and my relationships, 2 Timothy 3:16 says this. It says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Hebrews 4:12 says that as Jesus is our wonderful counselor, that the Word of God is living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Think about a sword, a sharp knife. That is sharp. It pierces even to the division of soul, spirit, and of joints and marrow. Has anybody here ever eaten bone marrow? It's kind of a, you ever been to a restaurant? It's really good, you know. The bone, the marrow's in there. You got to scoop it out. It's like getting crab out of a crab leg. It's a delicacy. It's really good. But it's really deep in there, and it's hard to get out. And that verse goes on to say, I say that to say this, that the Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You have to get in and really dig into God's Word to get the good stuff, to get what you need for your life. And some of you here today, you're not reading God's. Sometimes we're living life for ourselves and we're afraid to get into God's Word because we know what it says. We know what it's going to say about our life and how we're living, and we avoid it. But the Bible says that it's wonderful. Jesus is our mighty counselor. If you're not letting Jesus lead your life, you may have a stressful holiday or Christmas season because He loves you and came for you, and He's our mighty counselor. Psalm 73, 24 says this. It says, "You will guide me with your counsel and afterward receive me to glory." Let Jesus be your mighty counselor. Let in your life and in your marriage and in your personal walk and in your friendships and family and in your church life and in your finances and in every area of your life, let Jesus be your counselor, because when He is, you have joy. When the Holy Spirit's leading your life, you have joy, peace, kindness, goodness, gentleness, patience, self-control. These are wonderful things when He's your wonderful counselor. He's also your mighty God. He's your mighty God. He made it all. He spoke the world. He spoke the universe into existence. Science has no qualms or arguments about the fact that the universe had a starting point, just like that. And we know that it was God speaking it into existence. Try that. Try to speak something into existence. Let there be cheesecake. There's no cheese. Let there be a $100 bill in my pocket. Nope. Let me be super thin. Nope. Stop laughing at that. You can't speak anything into existence, but you have a mighty God who did and does so and wants to do so in your life, and He sent Jesus for you. He's a mighty God, amen? It's the old song, "What a Mighty God We Serve." If I could sing, we'd start singing it right now, but I can't, so we won't. Jeremiah 10:12 says this, "He has made the earth by His power, He's established the world by His wisdom, and stretched out the heavens at His discretion." That's our God. That's the God that loves you, that knows the number of hairs on your head, that sent Jesus for you. That's the God that allowed you to have Christmas. And when you will start letting Him be your counselor and be your God, your life will be blessed and you'll have joy. But if you're going to keep running from Him and not let Him be your mighty God, you're walking in darkness. And what happens when you walk in darkness? You stub your toe, you get hurt, you get lost. You ever been in a cave and they shut the lights off? I hate that. They always do that. Look how dark it is. We know we're in a cave, okay? And they always tell you, you know, you'd go crazy within like 24 hours. That's life without Jesus. You're walking in darkness, but He's your mighty God. Isaiah 41:10 says this. Think about this. He says, "Don't be afraid, for I'm with you. Don't be dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." So if you begin to think about, my life's good and I'm good, I make good decisions, I work hard and I'm all this. No, it is God upholding you. It is God blessing you. It is He who guides you. It is His grace and goodness in your life. So rejoice and be thankful. And turn that praise into a life that serves Jesus, a life that gives to others, a life that will say, maybe we'll do a little less Christmas this year and we'll just give something away to an organization that's helping children who don't have homes and don't have medicine and don't have food. And maybe we'll do a little less and do a little more for others this year and do Christmas differently. He is your mighty God. The Bible says in 1 Peter to cast all of your cares upon Him because He cares for you. So now you're going to let the holidays stress you out this year. You're going to rejoice and be thankful because He's your wonderful counselor. He's your mighty God. He's also your everlasting Father. He's timeless. He's not going to change. People change. Have you ever met someone, every time you see them, it's either like really good mood, really bad mood? Or every time you see them, it's some new thing. They've got a new diet or a new scheme or a new thing, and that's going to make them happy, and it's always something, and they change, and they let you down, and people hurt you, and people disappoint you. Your everlasting Father is never going to do that. He's never going to leave you, forsake you. He can't lie. He can't let you down. He loves you forever, XOXO. Oh, free people. That was good. He's the same, though, yesterday, today, and forever. And the word love is so cheap these days. Everybody loves everything. God loves you with an everlasting love. He will uphold you. He sent Jesus. We have Christmas. You are blessed. And a lot of us, everybody here today is probably going through something, but you know what? He loves you. He doesn't change. He will get you through it. He will see you through it. He will get good from it. And you'll look back one day and say, all right, there was a purpose even in that. most of the time in this life, but definitely He has promised you in eternity. He is your everlasting Father. John 1:14 says this, so the Word became flesh and Jesus became human and He dwelt among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, the Bible says. Unfailing love and faithfulness. That is the God that we serve. That is the Jesus who died on the cross for you. That He loves you in an unfailing love with an unfailing love and He is faithful. You have a reason to have joy all the time and you have a reason to make Jesus the center of your life and of the Christmas season. He's also our Prince of Peace. Matthew tells us, he says in Matthew 11:28, Jesus tells us, he invites us to come to Him, all of us who are tired and who are labor and are heavy laden. He says, and I'll give you rest. He says, to take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He's our Prince of Peace. Some of you today, you don't have a lot of peace because you're so hard on yourself. You can't forgive yourself. You can't rest in His peace. You're not a good enough Christian. You don't feel good enough. What did Jesus say on the cross? He said, it is finished. You ever just think about that? And you ever just say, I'm going to be happy and joyful. He finished my salvation on the cross. He finished your salvation on the cross. Just rest in that and love and live for Him. Stop trying to measure up. Just live for Jesus. Do the best you can. We all have different measures of grace. But you have to come out of the darkness and live in the light. You have to live for Him. He's your Prince of Peace. Ephesians 2. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Ephesians 2. I'm going to read 6 verses. About what Jesus did for you and I. About why He came. And it's just so wonderful. Ephesians 2:13. If you don't know, there's a word in here called enmity, and enmity means like disagreement, separation, drama. It means it's a bad word, so as I say that a couple times, you know what it means. Ephesians 2:13-18. It says, now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abandoned in His flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments, contained in ordinances, so as to create in Himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. And that He might reconcile them both to God, one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And He came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Jesus made peace. Christmas was about Him coming, being born of a virgin, living a perfect sinless life, and dying on the cross to make peace and to make you right with God. Nothing you can ever do could make you right with God other than Jesus coming. And so to that, I say Merry Christmas. And I say Christmas is going to be about Jesus for me and my household. Will it be for yours? Not just that we recognize it, but that we do things differently. Jesus was radical, wasn't He? The religious people, the world, they crucified Him. They didn't like Him. They all had problems with Jesus. He really shook things up. So I would encourage you this Christmas to shake things up. I would encourage you to spend a little less on family and give away to those who are really desperately in need. I would encourage you to make Jesus more verbal and vocal in your family celebrations. I've told you this before about my grandparents. I would encourage you, what they used to do, to put Bible verses on every plate, and before you have Christmas dinner, you all read your verses. The mashed potatoes and the noodles will still be warm enough. You'll be all right. Do these things this Christmas. And if you never have before, start them. And it might be tough. Some of you have family members who won't really appreciate that. But hey, if they're coming to your house, it's your house, right? Me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Your kids, maybe grandkids, nieces, nephews, spend a little less on them. No, thanks. They'll be all right. So let me tell you what we did. What I've asked Carla to do, you know, is don't buy me anything this year. Anything you were going to spend on me, I want you to wrap it to whatever organization you choose, and we're going to open it Christmas morning just like our other gifts and say, this is a gift to Jesus. Here's a check to this organization, to this Samaritan's Purse, to World, that's one of my favorite, to World Vision, and there's so many, and even locally, there's shelters around us. There's things that are good, okay? I don't need anything. And I'm not trying to say, I'm giving you an idea, and I've got tons of stuff. You can come see me this week of things you can do, traditions you can begin to make your Christmas more about Jesus. So this Christmas, I just want to encourage you as we start this Christmas season to just relax. Everybody take a deep breath and just say, you know, I'm not going to overstress with the shopping. We've already done Black Friday. It's already over. So I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to, and I'll tell you what, you want to know what's not Christian? Is spending money you don't have. The Bible talks about going into debt and how it's not great. And so if you're saying, I can't really afford Christmas, I'm just going to put it on the credit cards, don't do that. That's not right. It's not good. Now, oh, so many are mad at me right now. Just don't do that. If you don't have it, that's fine. Make Christmas more about Christ. Do what you can. Who cares? Don't stress with the shopping. Don't worry about the mother-in-law, the father-in-law, the family members. Don't stress that little sweetie will get everything she wants or he will get everything he wants. Your kids will be fine. Let me tell you a story. I'm 39. My family, they love the Lord. We always had great Christmases and plenty of gifts and presents. I'll tell you what, I probably can't remember 3 or 4 gifts I ever got from ages like 2 to 16, 18. I can't. I don't remember. I remember a bike when I was 5. That was pretty awesome, my first bike. But I just don't remember. I remember reading the Christmas story. I remember the Bible verses. I remember the family times. I remember the communion. I remember going to church on Christmas. I remember us talking about Jesus and praying. I remember getting together with the family and having fun and fellowshipping and being together. I don't remember the gifts, and I don't have any of them anymore. What does that tell you? What does that tell you? And it's not wrong. Do gifts. Have Christmas. But keep perspective. That is my challenge to you as your pastor this Christmas season, is to keep perspective, to make it about someone else. Jesus made his life about you. Make your life, make your Christmas about someone else, because you were in darkness, but you have now seen a great light. Praise God. This Christmas season, make it about Jesus. And if that means you have to do it differently, do it differently. Would you stand with me today as we prepare to pray? Today, with Pastor Dan being sick, we're going to close in prayer. And I would encourage you, if there's anything you'd like to pray about, talk about, or talk about keeping Christmas, about Jesus, your Lord and Savior, about keeping perspective. I'm going to be around for a while. Come and see me. But after we pray, we're going to dismiss. And I want to hope to see a lot of you here at 3 o'clock. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, I pray that you have talked to our hearts this morning, Lord, about the fact that all these things will pass away, that we don't as much remember gifts, etc. What we need to remember is the gift of your Son. And we need to understand that and make our lives about others and be generous and be giving and be thoughtful. It is better to give than to receive. Lord, I pray you bless your people that are here today. This will be a special Christmas season, that we will more than ever before, everyone listening, every household, they'll begin to pray and read your word in their household with their children, with their spouses. They'll begin to make you the focus of Christmas, even amidst all the wonderful things that it's about as well. You will be the center. You will be the subject. You will be exalted. You will be, Lord, put into focus in the lives of those that are here and their Christmases this year. I pray that that happens. I pray that you receive glory through it. Would you bless now your people as we go from here today, and bless our time together as we come together to celebrate the beginning of this Christmas season and decorating together. And I think, what a great tradition if there are those who have never come before, that they say, hey kids, we're going to go help decorate the church, because church is important, because it's Jesus' body. And Christmas is about Jesus. So this year we're going to church to decorate. Would you bless our time together and bless us as we go from here, in Jesus' name. We love you, God. Amen.